I want us to notice particularly one verse this morning. It's found in verse number 10. It's the title of our lesson today. Right in the middle of that verse, notice, the men say to him, "Why hast thou done this? Why hast thou done this?" One of the things we find, we study the book of Jonah, and as we read this morning, is that the will of God was explicitly expressed to Jonah. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. God told him to go to Nineveh. It was a great city. It was great in the fact that it was large. It was a mighty city in regards to its military might. And as a matter of fact, they were oppressive to the Israelites. They were actually their enemies. And he says, "Go cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." And we find that Jonah did not want to do so. We need to stop and think for just a moment. God has been very, very generous to you and I in this day. We have in our hands, I trust, the Word of God. Within the pages of this wonderful book we call the Bible, we have God's expressed will to us. There are things that we just know that God wants us to do. There are ways that God wants us to be because that's just what He wants us to be. There are things in our lives, I mean, our entire life is really, or should be, ordered by the Word of God. It has been expressed to us. And so you and I, through the Scriptures, we have this wonderful privilege as well. Not only that, we have something else. And maybe you don't think about this too often. I hope that you do. But we have, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God living within us. Now, that's exciting if you stop and think about it. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And one of the things the Spirit of God will do is prompt us. I don't know what other word to use with this, but He will prompt us. There's those inner things that He suggests to us. Last night, I took a little bit of time with our folks at prayer meeting. And I said, you know, we need to be very aware of the promptings of the Spirit in prayer time. I believe in what I call praying in the Spirit. And as you get together in a group, this is a wonderful thing. As you're together in a group, God will lay certain things upon your heart. And it might be just something very, very simple, very short even. And you might be able with one line, just maybe not even a whole sentence, but a phrase even, be able to express that to the Lord in prayer. And that's God doing that prompting in your life. And so, you know, while I'm praying, why, Dan, you might come into my heart and I may not even know why. But I just say, Lord, work in Dan's life at this moment. Okay? And what's really wonderful about that, sometimes we find out later he was facing a crisis or perhaps a great decision. Or perhaps he was driving down the road and he never even knew it, but there was a car about to hit him and God kept that from taking place. You know, it's marvelous what might take place, you know, these kinds of things. So we have the prompting of the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God never prompts us in disassociation of the Word of God. It's always in accordance with the Word of God. So that's something we can always count on. If it's not in accordance with the Word of God, then it's not the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's the evil spirit. Okay? And we need to understand that. Now, we also have a problem with that, and as I've not been really wanting to teach on this more, but there is a problem with that, and as many times when we are living by the flesh is going to prompt us too, isn't it? And so we need to be very sure that we're living in the Spirit and allowing Him to do that. Well, we find that Jonah then, conscientiously, I mean, this was not something by accident, he on purpose disobeyed God. I believe probably because they were Israel's enemies, and he knew God was a gracious God, and he knew that if he preached to them, they might turn to God, and God wouldn't bring His wrath upon them, but He'd be merciful to them. And the last thing Jonah wanted was God to be merciful to their enemies. Now, I don't know if that is the truth, but I think that is probably the case. That's what most Bible scholars believe. And what we find also, Jonah believed, well, hey, if he left Israel, why, he'd be leaving God behind. He'd not have this problem any longer. He'd be out of the situation. God have to go to somebody else, and he wouldn't have to go to Nineveh. And thus, he decides to take off. And so there's a couple of things I want us to notice in regards to this. And of course, first of all, we've already mentioned, but his disobedience, it was deliberate. He was deliberately running from the will of God. Now, there's something we need to understand. When you and I deliberately will not do something that God wants us to do, we get out of the will of God, then we find that we have ourselves in a position whereby we're going to perhaps then be allow the devil to lead us even farther and farther astray. For instance, Jonah, he gets down to Joppa, and what does he find? He finds a ship that is going to the farthest point away from Israel to the west that they know of. I mean, this ship is going to Spain. It's going to this city. They did some trade with them, and he says, I'm going to get this ship. It must be God's will for me to get so far away. God won't bother me there. I mean, he's left this ship here for me. You know, have you ever prayed because something was in your flesh and you say, Lord, if you let this happen, I know it's your will. And it happened and you found out later it wasn't his will. Because sometimes we allow the flesh to get so involved with it. And he gets down there and of course, the ship is there and it says he paid the fare thereof. Some believe in that remark right there, not only did he pay his fare, but it was enough fare to actually take him and the boat and the sailors. It paid the whole price. And anything they might put in the boat was over and above. It was to their benefit, but he actually paid the entire price. We don't know that for sure, but many believe that is the case. And he had the money for the fare. After all, I've got the money. It must be God's will for me. You know, I'm not going to go there, so I'm going to go clear out here. And I'm going to go be a missionary somewhere else, you know, basically. And he's leaving the presence of God. Oh, how we need to be very careful in this matter. I look back in the book of Numbers, and there's some interesting verses there concerning a man by the name of Balaam. We find that Balaam was approached, and the king said, I want you to come down and curse these people. And God told Balaam, don't go. These are a blessed people, and don't go. And he told him that. They left, and he sent back some more people that were more important and said, Balaam, you need to come. You need to curse these people. My goodness, the king is going to make you rich. You'll be popular. You're going to have all of this at your availability. And so Balaam sought God again. Now, if God said no once, has God changed his mind? No. Now, there's an interesting thing that takes place, and that is that, and you read it in chapter 22 and verse 20, God said this, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. He says, all right, you want to go with them. If they come and call you, you rise up and go with them. What's interesting is Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with them. The Bible never says they called for him. He just took that as, hey, God must want me to go. You know, we need to listen very closely to God. Okay? And he goes. How do we know that was wrong for him to go? Well, he goes a little ways, and what happened? His donkey sets down on him. He's not going to go any farther. And he begins to beat that donkey, and we know that the donkey turned, began to talk to him. By the way, if your donkey talks to you, you must really need to listen. Yeah, you need to be listening. Something is not right. Okay? And so we will not make any more application than that. But by the way, God does raise up a lot of donkeys we're not too thrilled about in our lives. But he's trying to teach us something. And so he's there in that spot, and he still wants to go. And you know what God says? All right, go. Okay? Understand something. Even though the will of God was expressed, God said, all right, you want to go so bad, go. Have you ever had a child that you said, don't do this, and they begged and begged, and you finally said, all right, go ahead and do it. Take the consequences. See if you can learn something from this. You know, and so he lets him go. He does give him a caution. Don't say anything against my people, which we find is true in Balaam's life. Well, I'm trying to get us to understand something. We need to be very careful in this matter of seeking the will of God and understanding what it is that he wants in our lives. We find that Jonah then gets in the boat and he goes down inside. And man, he goes to sleep. He is sound asleep. I think he'd been wrestling so much with this that he was totally exhausted. He gets in a boat. He's down there sleeping, and danger arises from above. He's completely oblivious to it. Now, that teaches me something that I believe we need to understand as God's people. When we are not in the will of God, it is so easy to be oblivious to the danger that is lurking. When we're not walking in the Spirit of God, we have no idea what may be close to us. When we're at odds with God, we have no idea of the dangerous position that we have found ourselves in. I like the illustration of an umbrella. I have a huge, I guess they call it a golf umbrella, that I use when it's raining out, and I keep it right by the back door, and so then I can flip that thing up and walk out and not get all wet, and walk over to my office, and I just like that big thing. You know, you ladies, you carry these little things, and quite frankly, at my height, the rain's coming in sideways at all. I'm wet from here to there. You know, it's not a great help, all right? And some of us in this room, we are of a little larger nature, and we need more coverage. Thank you. It's a great word. Okay. You know, if you're walking in rain, you don't have an umbrella, rain's going to hit you. You say, I came to church to learn that. I hope you already knew that. All right. The rain's going to hit you. Okay. Now, there's something about rain. When it gets cold enough up in the sky, rain can turn into sleet, hail, snow. You know, and you know, if it's hail, that stuff starts coming down, it can be a very dangerous position. All right. So let's think about that hail for a moment. And let's think about it in this regard. The Bible talks about the devil throwing fiery darts. Now, hail and fiery darts don't make sense together, but let's consider it in that regard. So we got this hail, and let's think of it in fiery darts. We got our umbrella up. We're walking with the umbrella. It's not going to be hitting us. We're walking in the will of God. We have the protection of God. And whatever He allows to hit us, it's for a reason. Amen? Seriously. All things do work together for good to them that love God. And so there are places in our lives that are going to be difficult. I mean, we got the umbrella. We might be walking through the mud. Okay? And we might have some difficult places in life. But hey, we got the umbrella. God's protection is there. Okay? When we're walking in the will of God, the devil cannot beat us in that case. We take off the umbrella, the will of God, and we find ourselves in a place of non-protection. Let's think of your kids for a moment. The Bible says to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? God has made most of you in this room parents, many of you in this room grandparents. Some of you have the wonderful distinction of great-grandparents. I'm getting there. And so we have this obligation, this place of authority. Now, a child who gets out from under the authority or the will of their parent is placing themselves where? Outside of the umbrella protection. Right? You would do anything to protect your children. But when they're outside of your will, they're not in the place where you want them to be, you have a very difficult time protecting them there. Okay? And thus it is with God. And you and I need to, what, stay in that precious will of God. It's expressed to us from His Word and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit of God, His Spirit is going to impress upon us the direction to go. Just as if you're in a prayer meeting and God says in your heart, I mean somebody's name or situation comes to your mind, you pray for them, that is God leading you. It's amazing how God prompts us throughout the day of all the little things that He's trying to direct us in. Jonah did not do that. He placed himself in a position of danger. And we find that his peace with God and his peace with men escaped him when he fled from the presence of God. For now he has himself in a very precarious position, And now we find a storm comes, and it's a very tremendous storm because God wants to put His person back into the will of God, and it puts him in a position of danger and also the people around about him. Understand something. When you get out of the will of God, you're not the only one in danger. You put those who are about you, those who are close to you, in danger as well. His danger was to those close to him. His disobedience was deliberate. His danger was very near to those about. We affect those that are about us, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We have that effect. You say, well, nobody really listens to me. Nobody really cares about me. You'd be surprised the influence that you have in lives. You'd be utterly amazed at the influence that you are having in somebody's life. And you may not even realize it. And God wants to use you for good, not for evil. And when you and I get out of the will of God, we put others in danger. And notice, these men are in such danger, they ask this question, what hast thou done, or why hast thou done this? What is wrong with you, Jonah? Why have you done this? How many remember the story of Achan? Thank you, Virginia. How many are awake? Okay. How many remember the story of Achan? Okay. Well, we got 3-4. All right. How many know how to put their hands up? Okay. How many put both of them up? All right. Hey, just say hallelujah. Boy, don't you feel better? Okay. You know the story of Achan. When the Jews went into the Promised Land, they went to Jericho, and what were they to do? They were marching around the city 6 times for 6 days. On the 7th day, they were marching around 7 times. This always got me, Virginia. It's amazing to me because here we find that when they go across the Jordan River, they do it when it's flooding. Why don't they wait till it's better weather? Because God has a purpose. He don't want them going back. If you're going to go, you're going to go when it's high water, and you're not going back unless I open the river up, you know. And so we make a decision for God. It needs to be for longevity. Amen. They get over there, and God says, all right, I want you to circumcise each other. Here we are in the midst of our enemies, and we're going to be sore for a week, not be able to fight. God says, yep, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to rely upon me during this. And then afterwards, he says, I want you to go to Jericho, and I don't want you to fight. Just march. And then on that 7th day, Neil, this is amazing to me. How many believe you could walk around the city of Council Bluffs once? But on that day, he said, 7 times. I don't know how many know where Mineola is or how big Mineola is, but if I marched around Mineola 7 times, I would be too tired to fight. Now, you brawny ones in here, you might be able to do so afterwards. I have a sneaking feeling that the city of Jericho is a little bigger than Mineola. How many know where Mineola is? Okay. By the way, it was my hometown when I was a little boy. If you go down there now, you'll see a sign that says Mineola, next 3 exits. Street A, Street B, Street C, you know. They got a sense of humor down there. I don't know how big Jericho was at this time, but 7 times, going to be wore out. See, God does things in different manner than we would, you know. And after the 7 times, they blow the horns and they shout and the walls fall down. By the way, excavation shows that the walls fell out. If you're going to march in and push in the walls, they'd be pushed in. God did it. Amen. And we know that there was one man, he saw a Babylonian garment, he saw a wedge of gold and silver, and he took those and took them and hid them in his tent. Now that is crazy. A tent is temporary, and the place would be, I guess, in the dirt, and that's where he hid it at. Okay? But we find that they then go to the next city, it's called Ai. 2 letters long, Ai. And not a very big town. Okay? By the way, Ai was bigger than Mineola. We know it was at least 3,000 people. And so they go up that city and they lose the battle. 36 men die in this thing. And Joshua gets on his face before the Lord and begins to cry out, "Why have we lost this battle?" And God says to him, "Get up. There's sin in the camp." The problem is not with your ability. The problem is not with me. There's sin in the camp and I can't bless you. Because Jericho, everything in that city was to be holy unto the Lord. That which they took very first was to be God's. And he stole from God. Boy, put that in perspective with Malachi chapter 3 when it talks about stealing the tithe. And we ought to get a little fearful of God. And he said, you need to find out who it is. And so they begin to go through the tribes, and we find it finally that Achan is taken. And finally he expresses his grief over this thing. Well, not grief, but he expresses his guilt that he had indeed taken this. He went and got it. He gave it to him. But judgment must be placed upon him. And Achan was what? Stoned to death by all the congregation. By the way, if you're against execution of murderers and such like, you're against the will, the Word of God. So I thought he was a God of love. He is, but he's a God of justice. Okay? I read many years ago and began to study that. I found 16 different things that God said, take them outside the camp and stone them until they're dead. You parents need to find the one where it talks about mouthy children. Yeah. You say, why did they do that? Everybody picked up a rock because it is not a killing. It is that which is a corporate thing. It's that which the entire city or nation is involved with. It's a government thing, but everybody is the government, and they were to have part in this particular thing. Do you think that would have an impression upon the young lives that are sitting there? Upon those who, everybody's to be there. And so they took him, stoned him. Matter of fact, the stones just raised a big heap on top of him. Not only Achan, but all of his family. And what do we find in that? Those who are near to us are affected by us when we get out of the will of God. It is very important we understand that. Not only we pull ourselves out from the umbrella of God's protection, but we put those who are about us in that position. I cannot tell you how many times in the last 36 years I have seen folks attending Open Door Baptist Church get out of the will of God, leave church, leave God, and have teenage children wonder what happened to them a few years later. I have seen that over and over and over. And preteens and their children are placed in harm's way. And oftentimes we sacrifice our brethren upon the altar of convenience. And we do that which we want to do, that which is convenient for us, rather than following the will of God, and we put them in danger. Rather than serve God, we're like Jonah, we're willing to go to sleep. And we allow our countrymen to be terrorized by a shoddy walk with God. Now let's put it in perspective just a little bit farther and make another application, which is not going to be very comfortable. We look today, and I don't think any of us in this room, maybe somebody is, are very happy with the present administration. That might be an undertone. Right? And we look at what's taking place in our nation and we say, my goodness, this is terrible. We're becoming socialistic very, very quickly. And it seems like things which were once freedoms are now saying, you got to do this. Hey, listen, you want to redo the steps on your house? If you don't get permission from the guy uptown, you're not supposed to do it. In fact, it just dawned on me one of our members had this problem this week. I'll put some new boards on my steps. I walk out, I'm going to fall through, you know. Am I right? You're supposed to get a permit? Fix your steps? I remember years ago, I not only fixed my steps, I put new cement down. My neighbor comes over, you got a permit for that? I said, no, didn't know you're supposed to have one. I thought this was the land of the free. Home of the brave, you know. Just fixing my steps so you wouldn't fall through, you know. So when you walked up, the one one's shorter than the other one, you just trip and fall, you know. Because they were nice when it got done, you know. Anyways, another story. We look at all these things and we get upset. But let's think about really. How have we gotten here? How have we gotten here? How is the Congress we have there now and the President we have there now, how did they get voted in? How did that happen? Could it be because we have let down our guard? Could it be? Could it be because we have not, what, been the salt? We have not been what we ought to be. Could that be? Could the real problem be us? Because we've not been vigilant. Because we've not preached the Word of God. Because we've not told others about Christ. Because we have not been that standard bearer. Interesting, back in the book of 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. My people. He's not talking about the others. You know what he says he'd do? He said he'd heal the land. We're very good at pointing fingers, but really, brethren, we need to stop and think about this. Really, as God's people overall, we have not been walking in the will of God. We have not been under the umbrella of His protection in that regard. We have not allowed the Spirit of God to lead us in our associations with other folks and reaching people for Christ. And today, we have very little influence in our nation. Why is that? Well, we've not done our job. And so the real need is for you and I to what? Repent. The real need for you and I is to what? Seek out the Lord. The real need for you and I is to turn from our wicked ways. Several years ago, I read an article. I don't know how they do all these things, but there was a youth pastors' convention. And this convention was being held at a certain hotel. And so all these youth pastors got together. They was at this convention. And what they said was, the nights that that convention was taking place, there were more licentious movies being bought and viewed in the rooms than on a normal basis. What's the problem? What's the problem? Problems within. And we're very easy to point the finger without. Oh, how we need to look within. Look within our own hearts. Are we in the will of God? Are we walking in the Word of God? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to prompt us? But we deliberately, like Jonah, what do? Well, I want to do this. And we walk away from the will of God. And what does it do? It places us in a position where we bring others into a horrible situation as well. And our children, our grandchildren, our relatives, those about us, they suffer as a result. Nationally, we suffer. And we allow our nation to be terrorized. By the way, it's exactly what's happened. And we need to be walking in the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? For like Jonah, God shows us, but we don't want to do it. This reason or that, we don't want to do it. But God's will is the best will. Amen? How we need to let Him work. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this time together. Lord, thank You for this chapter. It's not a pleasant one when we apply it to our own lives. We can be very critical of Jonah and we can look at him, but Lord, he's a picture of us. So Lord, I pray that You help us to see this identification. We might turn, we might repent of those ways, we might live according to Your Word. And Lord God, that You might, then that we might be in the center of Your will and Your blessings. I pray, Father, for the hour to follow, that You might work and bless in a tremendous way. For I pray in Jesus' name.